here is a Valentine's present that may make your recipient uncomfortable in both senses. Edible underwear. It's still a big gag gift 4 decades after it was invented in, of course, the 1970s. It also made its inventors rich. Gideon Brower tells the story.
One thing to know about edible underwear, those candy briefs you might buy as a gag gift that you can wear and also eat, they were never originally meant to be eaten, and they were never originally meant to be worn.
We approached it as conceptual art and as a sexual parody.
It ended up being just this gargantuan behemoth. It kind of got out of control.
Lee Brady and David Sanderson are the guys who invented edible underwear. They're also a couple. They've been together since 1967. This all starts in the early 70s. David and Lee and some friends were sitting around a big rundown Victorian house they were renting in Chicago's Old Town neighborhood. And this will not shock you, they were a little high.
We were sitting around smoking.
Drinking Annie Green Spring wine, apple flavor. We were talking about colloquialisms, you know, like go bananas.
Puff the Magic Dragon just kind of put it in our minds, and I remembered that my older brother used to say to me, eat my shorts.
Eat my shorts.
Like, buzz off.
We're just howling at that. And then David thought, well, why can't you make them? Why isn't there such a thing?
Now, I kind of doubt David's older brother was the first person ever to say, eat my shorts. And David and Lee probably weren't the first people to think maybe you could actually do that. But where other people might just laugh about it and then forget it, they didn't. And when they said they were making edible underwear, they weren't kidding around.
Everybody thought we were totally bonkers.
We bought trash bags. We had a friend, Christina. We would pin them on her and get a design that we would cut out, and then we would string it with licorice.
The early ones were designed exactly like underwear. Tidy whities.
The licorice was the strings. You'd tie it on each side of your hip in a bow. The men's, we actually put a pouch in it.
The design wasn't the only challenge. At the time, there was no product that you could cut like fabric, package, color, flavor, and eat. So they had to develop it themselves.
We were experimenting in the spare bedroom with a potato starch and hydroxypropylmethylcellulose, which is an edible plastic.
It took a while, but they did eventually come up with a product that was both edible and wearable. And they gave it a name.
Candy pants.
In 1975, when they'd made about a dozen pairs.
We had a friend who had a bath shop. He said, you can put them in the front window if you want.
Lee and David say, even though they'd gone to all that trouble, they still didn't expect much. But here's where a miracle happened. A marketing miracle, which may be a minor miracle in the scheme of miracles, but still, people spend years desperately trying to get publicity and attention for things they invent. And the way David and Lee tell it, the very first person who bought a pair of candy pants.
A girl from the University of Indiana bought the first pair.
Her school newspaper wrote about it, and the wire services picked up the story.
It went around the world in 24 hours.
And then all hell broke loose.
I got calls all night long from England, Australia, Canada, Germany, and then NBC called and said, can you be on the 6 o'clock news tomorrow?
Who knows why edible underwear struck such a chord? The mid-70s, post-Watergate, post-Vietnam, in the depths of an economic recession, were kind of a grim period. And candy pants were just something silly and fun. Whatever the reason, orders started coming in by the thousands for a product that didn't really exist yet outside of Lee and David's spare bedroom.
If you would, please, send us 12 dozen candy pants.
And did I mention there were a few quality control problems?
It had to have the right humidity and temperature, or it would just dissolve or get brittle and break.
But they were can-do guys, so they got a factory.
The Willy Wonka factory.
Willy Wonka factory.
We had giant decals of Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Pluto, Goofy, plastered all over this gigantic wall. We started hiring people. Everybody wanted to work for us. We were fun. We had parties every Friday night.
Lee and David were in the papers. They were on television.
Floyd Kramer and Chet Atkins were watching Johnny Carson, and they saw him talk about edible underwear, and they'd written a little ditty, and they thought, that's it. Let's call it Candy Pants.
It was a wonder product. It appealed to everyone. Young and old, gay and straight, prude and libertine. Everybody loved Candy Pants.
I'd like to order 36 dozen Candy Pants, 24 dozen women's, 12 dozen men's. Could you call us back on this and confirm whether you did receive
them? Candy Pants, strawberry, cherry lime. Those flavors blow my mind.
We had banana split, cherry, and chocolate.
The doomed one.
Not a good idea. We came up with passion fruit.
We did a mint one, which was green. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Division would not give us a trademark at first because they said the words candy and pants were mutually exclusive. But eventually we did get that.
We had a guy come and he placed an order for 250,000 of them. We were like, what?
We had a convent that actually awarded them at bingo games. Motorcycle shops carried them. Nursing homes.
Bloomingdale's, lingerie shops.
An anniversary gift, a birthday gift. Really big for bridal showers. Really big.
We were selling about $150,000 a month in 1976.
We were making a lot of money. We would spend it as fast as we would make it. You know, you're young. You're going to live forever.
Lee and David bought a 7,000-square-foot mansion. They had parties. Lots of parties. One thing to remember if you're trying to picture what their lives were like at that time, this was happening.
Disco started to get popular. Donna Summer. And we partied a lot. We were generous, I guess you could say.
David and Lee did still have a business to run. And the way they tell it, they were starting to encounter some problems.
We would order like 9,000 pounds of flavoring, and all of a sudden we'd get 9 pounds.
The couple says they were getting squeezed by people who wanted to take over their business and sell Candy Pants to a different kind of clientele.
These men would come in and buy a dozen pair and sell them in their bookstores that sold magazines like Jugs.
David and Lee had deliberately kept their product out of stores like that. It just wasn't how they saw Candy Pants.
We always thought of it as being innocent and a little naughty.
But knockoffs of their product were already turning up in porno stores. Lee and David say the stress of maintaining their supply chain was getting to them. They had to make a tough decision.
It was 9 years that we were running it.
They chose to sell the rights to their product to a group they'd rather not talk about much.
And that was the end of the deal. It was done. It was just done.
The bad news? Lee and David were out of the edible underwear business. The good news? They were rich.
We drove around Florida for 6 months and lived kind of a rock star-y kind of life.
And then they did what they'd always done. Everything.
We started up a product called Diamond Jacks.
It's a cross between Cracker Jacks and playing the lottery.
We had a gem in every box.
So far, 28,000 boxes of Diamond Jacks have been shipped. 9 diamonds have been found and 5 are still out there somewhere.
We came up with a breath freshener called Mighty Mouth, edible paper with caramel pens for kids.
I dabbled in doing figurative art for a while.
Lee Brady and David Sanderson have been together almost 50 years now. It seems like they've done everything and been everywhere. But they know if they're remembered for one thing, it'll be Candy Pants.
I do feel like it's like our signature contribution to I don't know what.
It's taken on a life of its own. It just goes on and on and on.
We outlived the pet rock.
A version of that story by Gideon Brower originally appeared on the KCRW show Good Food.